Good morning and greetings of love in Jesus' name again this morning. And special welcome to our fathers this morning. As you probably are all aware that it's Father's Day today. And I want to take a look at that just a little bit. You can turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. I would like to encourage us as fathers to take our place, be a true father, be a godly father, be one that finds our place in the line of authority that God has placed us in. And I know we all face challenges, and I think we all understand the joys and the sorrows of being a father. And I know some of us are in the heat of the battle, and we need to take courage. And I'd like to encourage us each one. Maybe if you're not a father this morning, you can be an encouragement to the fathers, or you can learn what is on a father's heart, and you can do your part in helping that along. This 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, in verses 11 and 12, he says that, as ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children, that you would walk worthy of God who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. And this is a letter to the Thessalonians. I believe Calvin preached from this chapter a couple months ago. And he preached it in relation to the Thessalonians this morning. I'm going to take this title here. The end of verse 11, as a father doth his children. And I think we can see how Paul worked in the life, worked with people and taught them. He says, as a father doth his children. So we want to look how Paul related to the Thessalonians, his work among them, and how that relates to how a father doth his children. So that's the title of the message, as a father doth his children. Learning, trying to understand how Paul worked among them and applying it to being a father. If you want another title, you could call it the heartbeat of a godly father. But that is how, I believe Paul represented that in many ways as he worked with people, a true father heart. He gave that in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15. He talked about the importance of fathers. He says, for though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. And so there is a real connection. There's more than one way to be a father to people. You can have children and you're responsible to be a father to them. You can have someone that you are trying to help in a godly way, and you can be a father to them. Yeah, there's many aspects of being a father, and really in all relationships, authority relationships, whether it's teacher to student or father to children, church leaders, there's an aspect of being a father in all of them. So I want to take a few lessons from this chapter and try to help us and encourage us to take our place, to be a father that we should, and the involvements that it has. So number one is the trust that is given to us. Paul talks about that in relation to the trust that of the gospel that is given to them in relating to the Thessalonians. And really the trust of the gospel is given to us as fathers to extend it to our children. We are entrusted with children. We're even more importantly entrusted with the gospel to give to our children. So it's not just that we're entrusted with children, but it's important that we give the gospel to our children. It says that in verse 4, if we are allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth the hearts. So it's a trust to be given this responsibility. And I am surprised and made pretty small in my own eyes when I think about the responsibility that God has given to man to be a father to children, to bring children into this world and to teach them. You know, there's really, as we think about the influences of that come into a person's life, Yes, a mother has a major influence, and thank God for that. But a father is also a major influence on a child's life as he is brought into the world, grows up, and even your absence is a major influence on a child. If you are absent from the child, people that bring children into this world and are totally absent from them, that is an influence that is not bearing the fruit that is for the good of the child. So it is a tremendous trust, and let's just remember that trust is for the eternal good of the child. These children are brought into the world, they have eternal souls, and we need to remember that throughout all their life, to be an encouragement to them, to direct them, to bring them, to discipline them, to bring them in to subjection and to obedience, to help them to understand what obedience is so that they can learn to listen to the call of God and to learn to listen to authority in their lives. And it is to bring the gospel into their life. So we are given a great trust as we think about the trust of a child and the importance of putting the gospel into a child's life. We think about the different about being a father, the trust of being a father. We read that verse that Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 4 there about being an instructor. And you know, we can be an instructor and we need to instruct our children. But he says that he'd rather be a father than have 10,000 instructors. So it's important that we understand that being a father is one that gives instructions, that lives instructions, that himself is one that is able to be followed. You know, an instructor is one that instructs and he goes his way. A father is one that instructs and shows the way. There's a big difference there. An instructor instructs and goes his way, a father instructs and shows the way. We think about the difference in what God told Abraham, what God said of Abraham. He said, I know him that he will command his children after me, after him, to follow him. I forget how it says it there. You can read it in Genesis 18, I think it is. And then the difference between what in the life of Eli, as his sons grew up and they followed the sins of the world, and he did not restrain them. And the difference in how that played out into their life. And we think about the trust that is given to us. So it's very important that we instruct and show the way. Okay, the second one in verse 2, having boldness in the face of opposition. We don't face the same opposition that Paul faced in relation to giving the gospel to the Thessalonians. But he says in verse 2, for even after that we suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as ye know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. Remember, we could say confident, having confidence in the face of opposition. I believe we know as dads here this morning that there is opposition to teaching and training our children. And maybe not so much opposition from our children as it is from there is a certain amount that comes from that. We expect that because of their bend towards to their carnal nature. But there is opposition of holding and giving the gospel to our children because there is many other things that are trying to get our children's hearts as well. So we need to have the confidence, put confidence in God that we teach them the gospel and be bold in that, to be confident in that we do have a purpose, that we know we have a privilege of teaching our children the gospel, the right thing, the things that God wants us to teach them, to be obedient and to learn to submit and to live a life of righteousness and usefulness in this world. That's certainly a worthy cause, and we need to, instead of being bashful about that, we need to just go ahead and do it in confidence. Point number 3, in verse 3, he says, for our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile. We think about teaching. Point number 3 is teaching for the sake of truth, not teaching to get our way or to get our agenda. not teaching, not being sly and trying to wiggle things around to get our own agenda, but just teaching the truth for the sake of truth. And we may even show up, if we teach the truth for the sake of truth, we may even show up some things in our own life that we need to straighten out. When we teach truth for the sake of truth, we might show, as we are teaching our children to obey, we might be hearing God's voice saying, "Why ain't you obeying in this other area?" And then that helps us to grow in our Christian life as well. And we need to be open to that. But if we're doing it, if we do it for our own agenda, we have to use deceit and we won't hear God's voice in that way. But teaching truth for the sake of truth, not being flattering, as it says in verse 5, "For neither at any time use we flattering words, as ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness." So just teaching truth. Don't try to flatter your children into obedience, but say this is what is right and this is what is we require, and give them, commend them when they do it. That is good. That's not flattery. But don't try to flatter your children into obedience. They need to learn to be obedient. Number four, we need to understand that we are accountable to God as fathers. In verse 5, the very last phrase there says, "God is witness." God is witness. We are accountable as fathers for how we do our job. We are accountable for how we fill the role of a father, the teaching, the training, the discipline, and all of that. And we also are accountable for how we do with authority that is over us. Our children will be watching that, and God is watching that. Can we expect our children to accept the teaching, the training, the discipline that comes into our life if we are not willing to accept the authority that is over us, whether it be the laws of the land, whether it is the guidelines of the church, the discipline of the church, whether it's that? Can we expect our children to do any better than we do? God is watching. You're accountable to God how you fulfill your responsibility below you and how you fulfill it above you. You know, it feels good when we tell our children to do something and they do it. And they do it cheerfully. And we know, I think we've all experienced the thing of telling our children to do something and they do it and then their face is still long. And I believe God sees it the same way. When God tells us to do something, God is witness, God is watching, and he knows when we do it with a long face and he knows when we do it with a cheerful face. And do it because we want to. I think that's one of the things that a father is somewhat unique in, because he stands between his children and God, and he also stands between his responsibility to bring his children up under the direction of the church. And it can conflict sometimes. But I believe as we use the benefits of both, the biblical teaching, the teaching and the direction, the benefits of the church to help our children and the school. I think there's three things there that can help us to raise our children. And God is holding us accountable for all of those. Okay, number 5 is the servant leadership style of a father. And you see that in verse 6. It says, "Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, that when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ." And so we can use our children to our advantage if we want to. But are we a servant leader? Or do we do it because of the advantages of being... There is a whole lot of advantages of having obedient children. Homes just simply run smoother when our children are submissive and obedient. And you could have your children be obedient because it simply makes life better. Or you can have your children be obedient because you love them and you want them to understand the importance of obedience and how it relates to God and how that will change them and help them to be obedient to God. And so we could take advantage of our role as a father and simply be a dictator. But here he's talking about being a servant leader, someone that leads because he loves, That's what a servant leader is someone that leads because he loves, and he does it whether there's advantages or whether there's not. So let's teach our children and be a leader to them, a servant leader to them, one that does for their good, not for the honor or position that we have or that we want. Lead for the good of the souls of our children. Number 6 is having a heart of care and compassion. We can see that in verse 7. It says, but when we were gentle among you, you know, I forgot to read this passage, but I guess it's too late now. Let's keep on going. Verse 7, but we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. And we think about the care and compassion. I think it takes a special heart to be a nurse, to be a true nurse. I'm sure there's nurses that do it for the money, but there's nurses that do it because they have a heart of compassion. And we think about that in relating to our children. The care and compassion that we need to have for our children. And I think that a father and, well, parents in general, both father and mother, can have a special place for their children in their heart, rightfully so. And we need to help them and show that to them. Some of us, it comes easier or harder than others, but we need to show that to them. We think about what a nurse does for our children. It says, we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. A nurse checks the vitals of their charges. They make sure that their needs are supplied, and we think about this as fathers. We need to make sure the needs of our children are supplied, whether it's physical and, more importantly, spiritual. And we need to know, as a nurse does, that not all problems are solved painlessly, but they can be solved compassionately. You know, there is pain involved. Sometimes nurses do inflict pain upon their patients, on their people that are under them, that they're responsible for, but it can be done with compassion. The prick of a needle is not pleasant, but it's necessary to take care of the needs that are there. And so it is with our children. We can do it, but we can do it with compassion. We should do it, and we should do it with compassion. Let's have caring and compassionate hearts towards all men, of course, and to our children, as we're thinking about this morning. Number 7 is sharing the burden of our heart. Verse 8 says, so being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. I don't know exactly how to share the burden of my heart to our children, but I think it does come through in day after day living. I do think about the mistakes that my own dad made in relating to his children. But I also think about it that I could tell that his heart wanted what was right for his children. And that takes maybe some years for you to understand that. But I believe that's one of the advantages of having a day in and day out relationship with your children, is because they do see your mistakes, but I think that they do learn to understand the burden of your heart. And I think we probably should be doing a better job of sharing the burden of our heart. And you know, that can be kind of intimidating to share the burden of your heart, because you are exposing yourself, and it may not be exactly what your child wants to hear, but we need to share the burden of our heart. And later, the last verse will show what the burden of Paul's heart was, and I believe the burden of our heart is the last verse we look at. I think it's verse 12 there. So we need to do that. We need to have heart-to-heart talks with our children. It is not just a buddy-buddy relationship, but a heart-to-heart talk is when iron sharpeneth iron. And there is time for compassion, yes, with heart-to-heart talks, but it's not just, we should not just be our children's friend. Yes, we should be, but we need to be their guide, or someone that guides them as well. Okay, point number 8, found in verse 9, says, for ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail, laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto you. We preached unto you the gospel of God. I call this perseverance. and that we need that as fathers, as godly fathers, to be persevering in our calling. It is very, it can be where, if at least if we are going through the heat of the battle, can be very wearing to be a father, to be a parent. But it says, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto you. So he persevered in his calling to give the gospel, and we should persevere in our calling to give the gospel to our children, laboring night and day. Yes, it makes us very weary sometimes, but it is a cause that is very worthy. And as Paul saw, his calling here is very worthy. Let's persevere as godly fathers. In verse 10, point number 9, it says, "You are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe." I call this accountability to our children. Our children are watching. We talked about accountability to God earlier. And our children are watching. And we need to be willing to listen to the observations that our children have, especially they can make some pretty amazing ones once they get a little older. Well, they make them when they're young too. But we need to understand that they are watching. They are looking for an example. And the little things that they say, they can help us learn how we are coming across in how we do things and whether we're doing it for the right reason or not. So we need to be careful in that and listen to the heart of our children. It says, "Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily, justly, and unblameably we behaved ourselves." I think we strive for that as fathers, to be unblameable and holy and behave ourselves wisely. But I think our children are our best teachers in how we fall short of that sometimes. Okay, in verse 11, the point number 10, I just have these three words: exhorted, comforted, and charged. And these three words come in verse 11. Says, "As you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children." This word exhorted means to call near, to beseech, to call for, comfort, desire, entreat is another word. The word comforted means to encourage or console or to comfort. And then charged means to be a witness, to give a charge, to bear record. And so all these things are part of our responsibility to our children, that we exhort them, we comfort them, and charge them. I think we could sum that up in everyday language. It would be to give clear direction, to give encouragement, and to hold ourselves and our families responsible, to hold our children responsible for their lives, to give clear direction, to give encouragement, and to hold them responsible. And so as we do that, then they know what to do, and they know where the lines are. Then the goal for our children in verse 12, that you would walk worthy of God. This is Paul's goal for the Thessalonians, that you would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. And I think as we understand the heart of a father, that would be the goal of a father for his children too, that you would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. Finally, we want our children to grow up to be God's children and to be someone that God can use in his kingdom. John said I didn't write the reference down, either in 2nd or 3rd John, said that I have no greater joy than to know that, or to hear that my children walk in truth. And that is a great joy to a father when that is his stand in life. But I believe also the opposite is true, that it is a very heart-wrenching thing when your children do not walk in truth. And it is something that goes with a parent. It is something that is heavy on their heart, and it is a great burden when children take the wrong way. And I'm sure that all the flashbacks and memories of what you did wrong come to you at those times. And I believe it should humble all of us and help us to understand that that is a choice between them and God, And yes, we do need to take accountability or responsibility for the mistakes that we make as parents, and yet we are humbled when our children walk in truth. Just a few thoughts about God as a father. Thinking about how God has called us his children. Amazing that God in his holiness can call us like a father. We think about God calling us just like a father, and he wants to be a father to us. And how he will not fail us as a father. There is many things that we fail our children in. God is a perfect father, and I believe we need to strive for that and look to our Heavenly Father to be the father that we should be, rather than looking at the mistakes that are so evident maybe in our own father or in examples around us, but rather look to our Heavenly Father for an example of how we can be a father to our children. He will not fail us. We will fail our children. At times we will have to ask for forgiveness, and but God is a father who is perfect, and we need to look to him. And let's all be the children of the Heavenly Father. And let's all strive to walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. Let's be faithful. Let's kneel for prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for your many blessings. We thank you that we can call upon you as our Heavenly Father, that we can cry out to you for wisdom, and we can thank you for your love and your mercy. Thank you that you did redeem us back to yourself when we were so far away. Thank you for your love. Thank you that we can come to you, and we thank you for the blessing of children and the blessing that they are upon our lives. And we pray for wisdom as each of us as fathers, pray for each father here this morning, that you would bless them with wisdom and give them grace and strength. Pray that we would all take our places and live our lives for you. We thank you for our fathers that have taught us in the way of truth. Thank you for men, godly men that have been fathers to us that maybe weren't our biological father, but have taught us many truths. Pray that you would bless them for their efforts, their encouragement. And pray, Lord, for each person here, father or mother, son or daughter, that each one would strive to be faithful, and that we could all be around the throne one day glorifying you. We pray that you would bless us and help us to take our responsibilities here until you come again. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.